And we are back. This is not me back, but I got so excited I had to record this. It's something super nerdy, but I'm pretty sure I'm talking to the only people on the planet that are really going to get excited about something like this as well. So the first thing I want to say is thank you to Philippa Cooper. This is something that I came up with during one of our sessions. Philippa had an awesome question, which was, how do I go about rewriting lyrics? That was essentially it. And I thought, okay, how do we reapproach things that we've put down previously, things we've written before? I said, hey, Philippa, how do you learn? She said, oh, probably visually. It's like, okay, cool, let's write this down. So I went through all of the things that I would check some lyrics against, all of the techniques and frameworks. That's the whole point of this show, right? Keep it practical, keep it reliable. And that's the idea here, is that I just wrote down everything that I kind of immediately think of when I'm trying to rewrite, and I ended up with quite a few cool things. So I'm going to go through those. But again, I'm really excited about this because it's super practical. I remember working with Philippa. The day after that, I showed it to Emily, and then I showed it to Ariadne as well. Later that week, Aisha as well really picked up on it. And everyone I've showed it to has gone, yeah, this is really cool. It's really simple. It's really clear, and it's very straightforward. So I'll also be putting together this as a resource at some point in the future slash very soon. But if you're interested, get in touch with the show and I'll throw together what I have. I'll send it forward to you. So I'm going to start. If you've got lyrics that you've already started writing, this is essentially, like I said, a rewriting checklist. So lyrical rewriting checklist. This is where we're at. When you've got lyrics that are kind of 60%, if you're following the idea of, okay, let's do a free writing template, let's do a storyboard, let's then try and get it to 60%. If you're new to the show and none of those make sense, either check out free writing or get in touch with me. I will explain it to you personally. So let's jump in. The first thing I love to talk about, it's the Ralph Murphy method. So for those of you, again, that are newer to the show, Ralph Murphy is an incredible songwriting scholar, if you will, songwriting philosopher. I think I'd even extend it that far. And he wrote a book called Murphy's Laws of Songwriting. Incredible book. I always pick it up in calls with people, whether they've been with me for years or they've just started and I want to kind of throw them into the nerdy end of songwriting. Ralph Murphy's Laws of Songwriting. So the first thing I would look at is, have you set up your story and also introduce the theme in verse one, and preferably inside the first two lines? So this is the idea that, as it states, when you write a song, have you set up the story? Have you set up the tension, the thing you're going to pay off? Have you done that lyrically? Again, this is a lyrical checklist. I'm going to be working on a melodic checklist as well. But lyrically, have you set up your song in the first two lines, preferably, if not in the first verse? And also kind of starting to look at themes and look at imagery. And this is this really interesting part of the song. When you come to write it, I find it's the most stressful is when I've done my free writing, I've done my storyboarding, I know what I want to say, but then it's those first two lines come with this kind of strange pressure of, I've got to set the whole thing up. I've got to start to introduce the character, the setting, the story. So that's, again, another thing I can talk about with people individually, but I want to keep it simple. So have you set up your story and also introduced the theme in verse one, preferably in two lines? Secondly, have you paid this off in the chorus? It's called The Nut in Ralph Murphy's book. I think of it as a great way, a simple way to understand it. And ideally, at the end of that chorus. So simply, these first two steps are, have you set up your story in verse one and have you paid it off in your chorus? Again, as you'll see, you can tick all of these things in the first section and still not be finished. But I think these are kind of the frameworks. If you're a bit lost, this is where you start. This is where you start to pick away at things practically. That's the point, practical checklist. So the third one of these, Ralph Murphy's approaches, have you used questions, buts, ifs in your pre-chorus? This also extends to the bridge, but we'll talk about the bridge in a minute. But have you used questions, buts, if in your pre-chorus? I love to think of it like a separate world. Is if we are going, which I'll talk about more in depth later, but if we're going underground, so to speak, in our verses, and then we're going above ground for our choruses, being very clear, that pre-chorus is kind of the in-between. It's the stairs up to the surface. It's another world. I love to think of it like a chord change, go to another world, ask those questions, that state that maybe you're not in the verse and you're not in the chorus, but you're kind of, maybe you're uncertain in your pre-choruses. That's why questions can be awesome, buts, ifs, uncertainty. So that's for your pre-chorus. It's a good thing, again, to either spice it, flavor it, if you haven't thought about that already. Then, is your verse two a bigger box than verse one? Meaning, again, Ralph Murphy talks about having connections between your verses, but imagining it like you've built a box of a certain size in verse one with your story and details, and then your second verse is where you start to build on that. So it's the same theme, but it's a bigger box. It's connected, but with more details. Again, you can talk so much about second verses. I love verses, but the next question is about your bridge. So Ralph Murphy, I think, has the best philosophy on bridges. Very simply, is it new? Is it a new perspective, a new color, a new lyric, a new thought, a new idea that you haven't yet talked about in your song? That's the important thing, the novelty of it. Because if people have been listening for, say, 2 minutes, Ralph Murphy studied and said most pop songs, or those that charted, and particularly in Nashville as well, he's very country orientated, which is fine by me. Most have their bridge around 2 minutes to 2 minutes 21. If you listen to Taylor Swift songs, which I highly recommend if you don't, she's got this incredible way of laying out how songwriting should be done while still doing it really charmingly and very effectively. So Taylor Swift's verses, Taylor Swift's bridges, forgive me, pretty much always around 2 minutes, 2 minutes 21. So that's this idea that if someone's got this far in your song, this is the tightrope we talked about. They've spent this much time on your tightrope, taken that risk. You've done well with your attention to get them there. Give them something interesting, something new, something impactful, something rewarding. So that's the idea. Does your bridge do this? Again, this can extend to melody, but we're trying to focus on lyrics. But think of that like novelty, that new aspect. There's some incredible bridge examples you can find out there to highlight this. New perspectives. So interesting, new perspectives. The next idea is, does your title act as a calling card or intrigue point? This one's kind of simple. Have you got your title as close as possible to your payoff? Or have you done something that's more interesting, something that's intriguing and unique? And I remember, the reason I call it a calling card is I remember being in Watford with my friend. We were in Kokoro, and I don't think I even ordered from there, but I remember walking with him and hearing, I hope your jacket smells like me, doom, baby, doom. And I was like, okay, I know that's Charlie Puth. I'm a huge fan. I think he's a genius. So I was like, okay, I know that's Charlie Puth. But I'm on a radio here. I haven't got Shazam. I haven't got a screen to look at. So I was like, I'm guessing the way that's been built up, Smells Like Me is the chorus. Smells Like Me is probably the title. So I went, boom, Apple Music, Charlie Puth, Smells Like Me, song, and looped it. So that's the idea, is you want to have a calling card. Ben Robbins also talked about this in a very classical way in the times he was coming up as a writer. So it's really cool to think about that. It's a bit of a strange one, but titles, calling card, and I think it can become boring. It's just exactly what you expect it to be. But can you come up with an intriguing chorus and then a payoff if they're not the same as well? So there's loads of different ways to go about that. Also worth having, your fifth line of your chorus, as I like to call it, or an extra line. If you think about writing your verse is four lines, your pre is four, or your verse is eight, your pre is two, four. Everything's in kind of sets of two, normally, in songwriting, normally. But I like to think of giving yourself that extra space, another couple of bars rhythmically, to then set up into your fifth line, your payoff line. So you've maybe had four or eight lines in your chorus, and then you're like, hey, here's my final ninth or fifth line where you go, hey, and here's the payoff, boom. So give yourself that space to do that. Don't worry about trying to stay in line. You can make up bars later in your post-chorus or anywhere else in your song. So again, those are really, really cool, simple, helpful guidelines to kind of get you into the basics and just make sure that all the fundamentals are there for your song. So again, I'll be sharing this resource with people that are interested. Some people I already coached have had this already. It's come from Philippa. So I know this is really practical and helpful. When everyone I've showed it to has kind of creased their eyebrows a little bit, but at the end they go, that was really cool. That was really helpful. And I really enjoyed putting it together. So if you're interested, reach out and I'll send this to you. The next section, if you will. I've got three sections. That was the first one. That's Ralph Murphy's fundamentals, if you want to call it that. Again, I'm developing this as we go. But the second one is about specifics, themes, and extremes. So this is, again, less specific, ironically, less specific in terms of line by line structure, but it's very much trying to focus on these questions. So do people have a sense of where you are and what you're experiencing? So again, looking at your lyrics, do people have a sense of where you are, so the setting, or where you are on your journey, where you are in your story, where you are in your life, physically around you, and what you are experiencing at that time? So that again sounds really simple, but to do that well, you probably want to focus on this second point, which is, have you addressed the sense pool? It's five senses, obviously. I say 3 out of 5 is perfect. 2 out of 5 is great too. but at least trying to hit one of those senses. And the idea is that we are showing people where you are and what you're experiencing by talking about your senses. So if those first two points could be answered, if you have a verse that's describing, for example, in this room, I can see wood, I can see my computer, I can see a chair, my phone, my equipment, I can feel it's a bit cold, I can smell, not much, it's an old room, but smell is an idea, and I'm not eating anything. I can't hear a lot because it's muffled because my headphones, but already you, from just hearing those crappy explanations of very banal, non-interesting things, you've got an idea of what I'm up to, where I am, what I'm experiencing, right? So it doesn't need to be too poetic and too artistic, but it does need to be sensory. That's the second one, sensible. The third idea is, have you established, by choice or by accident, because sometimes these happen by accident, which is brilliant, one or two themes in your lyrics, meaning topics that come up often. For example, I always love to use these two. It's just easy for me. I think they can be any way you want them to be, but I think one or two themes maximum, one theme is even better. But even a clear one like love, right? The reason I say one or two is because very often our songs have an undercurrent of maybe grief or love or celebration or sadness. To me, that is also a theme, because if we talk about love, there are particular things that come up, like heart, blood, pain, loss, gain, magic. You know, those things happen. Then if we also want to add a secondary theme, I think a bit more kind of fictional, if that makes sense. So nautical, for example, is one I love to talk about. Like, it's like the sea. So, you know, like anchors, waves, ocean, vastness, blue, depth, all of these things. Obviously nautical, but you can find themes that fit nicely together. So you've got something quite tangible, like I said, nautical, water, and love. And I remember writing a song, I talked a lot about this previously in the podcast, but we wrote a song that combined that. So we talked about passing ship kisses, that nautical theme of kind of not quite ever spending enough time with someone, but just kind of enough to kiss as ships passing in the night. So it's combining those two things together. And the way you look for that is look at your lyrics and go, hey, have I used enough verbs or imagery from these themes of love or nautical themes? Can I combine them? How do I do it cleverly? That's why one or two themes is cool, because if you combine them, that's like you've got the song, you've got the two themes, you've got the idea you're trying to say. That's three kind of combinations, three depths that you've gone to, depths, nautical, in that. So it's really, really cool to try and find those crossovers. And then obviously this is the kind of last one of this. Talked about extremes as well. Extremes is just as simple as that. If you're using extremes, particularly in the same sentence, I've never been high, I've never been so high, and I've never felt so low. Those things can sound really tropey, slap house, dancey, house music. But if you just refine it a little bit, I think one of the best proponents, one of the best writers in this thing of extremes is a guy called John O'Callaghan from the band The Main. If you want to check out The Main, Lovely Little Lonely would be my album to check out for that. Incredible, incredible. One of my favorites. But there's so many wonderful lyrics of extremes. You know, I'm this, but I'm also that. And it's a really cool way of capturing everything. And if it's done artfully, I think it's really effective. So that's also to consider. And the final one of this section is check in with your storyboard and your free writing. You know, sometimes when you go through Ralph Murphy stuff, you could end up jumbling things because you're trying to nail the essentials. But then you want to check back with your storyboard and back with your free writing to make sure you haven't missed any details you like, or you haven't gone too far astray of the story you wanted to tell. You can always change things. But also in a positive sense, go back to your free writing when you're needing more from the senses, more from the building of the story around it, the details. So that's another wonderful place to head. And finally, the third section of this resource, the rewriting checklist, lyrical, is very much that. Lyrical deep diving. So we have talked about this on the show. Again, if you want to get in touch, I'll explain how it works. It's always great to have a visual, some examples. But lyrical deep diving is essentially trying to categorize all of your lyrics in front of you between 1 to 5. Number one is they're almost cliched. They're on the surface. That's how I like to think of it, like the surface of the water. That's number one. And then imagine 5 stages down. The fifth is Shakespeare. So Shakespeare is wonderful, but it's a lot to take in. It's not easy to grasp on the first time. That's why, as we learned from Griff Husker, Shakespeare's designed to be on a stage with context and characters and the humanity to show you what it means, not just what they're saying. So when we read Shakespeare, we just hear it. It can be quite thick would be the best way to say it. So I argue that you can get as tired of cliches as you can of Shakespeare. You can be bored to death after two lines of cliches in the same way you could be bored to death in two lines of Shakespeare without context and interest and moving between these different levels. So that's my idea. And then the questions you can ask yourself is this. When you look at each section of your song, verse, pre-chorus, etc., at what level between 1 and 5 are you in terms of deep diving? I think the sweet spot range is between 1 and 4 or 2 and 4. So I kind of think of it like level 1, again, is cliche. 2 is a little bit more interesting. 3 is a little bit more deep. 4 is kind of where you got your quite cryptic lyrics. And there obviously there's an argument that some people are trying to not make sense at all, which is fine. But with this, it's kind of using sensory things like touch, sense, all the things you talk about in lyrical deep diving. Which again, I don't want to get sidetracked because it's such an incredible tool and world. And Pat Patterson has a great book on lyrical deep diving. But again, you look at your sections and go, okay, my verse is a bit more in depth. Your verses, you probably want to be, you know, 2 to 4. Again, like I said, because you want to have a bit more depth and detail, as we'll talk about in just a moment. And then in your chorus, have you gone a bit more towards the surface? Because this is where you want to be showing off your ideas in quite a clear way. And then your pre-choruses can be somewhere in between. Pre-choruses kind of have no rules, same with a bridge, but you probably want your verses and choruses to contrast and maybe be at different depths. That's why I think whether you're at 1 or 5, you've got to be careful of being at those extremes because you don't want to bore people for different reasons, but you still want to intrigue them. So one cliche can be amazing, or a touch of Shakespeare, a touch of depth can be perfect, but just bear in mind that contrast, as with anything. And ideally in your verses, I was saying 2 to 4, your chorus is 1 to 3. So that's the idea. But the best way I think to remember it, this is the kind of closing idea, arguably for everything, subways and skyscrapers. So do you have natural, deliberate contrast? What I mean by that is, imagine this, you're in a city, if you're American, say New York, if you're in the UK, London, if you're France, Paris. You're underground, you're in the metro. Your verses are in the metro, in the subway, in the underground. You can see specific signs, specific locations, but you don't have a great idea of the wider state of things. You're very much in a tunnel, in the depth. You're navigating through your story. These are your verses, right? And then when you are coming up to the surface, so you're done with the stations of particular stories, like, you know, you see Baker Street, you see Montmartre, or you see any of these places. You go, okay, cool, I understand that. We're in a really deep, detailed place. Couldn't be any, you know, this is very, very sure where we are. You're not sure where you are in the grand scheme of things, but you've got a great detail there. So I think I've hammered that enough. But then imagine you're walking up the escalator. You come out the gates, you're walking up the escalator. I think, remember the escalator, because I've got a little theory on that. But then as we emerge, for example, underneath the Shard or the Eiffel Tower or Times Square, we go, right, I know exactly where I am. This is your skyscraper chorus moments. Like, you cannot deny that you're looking at the Shard or the Eiffel Tower or Times Square. They're so clear. What I mean by this is lyrically or contrast-wise, even melodically, this will come up as well in the checklist. It's really clear. This is a chorus. This is what I'm trying to say. This is how I'm singing it. This is the contrast I've chosen to do. Bold statements. Boom. Right? That's a traditional way of thinking about it. So again, in your verses, you're down in the metro, in the subway, and then as you're traversing the stairs, which I think at the pre-chorus is that cool place. It's like, okay, I've just been in the verse. I think I'm going somewhere that's going to be a bit clearer. It's going to pay off this uncertainty I have. I'm not sure yet. I can't see the light yet. So you're kind of walking these stairs and people will walk a certain amount of stairs with you. You know, that's that cool tension, that cool build that happens. But if they get upstairs and there's no skyscraper, they're like, oh, well, I was led to believe there was something here to see. Right? And that's where you kind of let people down. But if you do something interesting, like going back down, like an anti-chorus, sure. But for the sake of simplicity, subways and skyscrapers, have you got that contrast baked into your lyrics and baked into your sections? So that's the rewriting checklist. If you are interested in having it, as you can hear, I'm still developing it. And as I read it out, I'm going, oh, I should probably put this in here. I should probably think about that. But overall, I think it's pretty robust. It's super helpful, super clear. And it's something that my clients find really helpful and I find really helpful to know you've got that to fall back on. These are all the processes we go through. These are all the great songs that we actually love. You could probably pass them through this and they would very much fit into that. So it's a somewhat scientific thing. It's not made up. I've collated it from the best and the brightest. So I'm not one of those. If you are interested, like I said, get in touch. I wish I knew that pod at gmail.com, or I wish I knew that pod on Instagram. You can also get in touch with me, jamiecarcoop@gmail.com or jamiecarcoop.com, jamiecarcoop. You'll find me. I'm happy to take you through this on a call. I'm happy to send it to you as is. I'll just kind of tidy it up. As I said, came up with it this week, really excited, last week, sorry. And thanks to Philippa for having this. You might have heard her on Emily's help desk. She's someone that kind of dove in to working with me pretty soon. And I just really enjoy working with her. She's someone who enjoys the process, wants to learn, wants feedback, which is awesome. Same with Stu Neal. I'll be showing Stu this on Thursday. These timeframes won't make sense. I'll be in Greece. Woo. But I'll be showing this to Stu on Thursday as well, because I think people like him and Philippa that really want to learn and dive in, they really respond to practical things. So this is a somewhat advanced because it's further than the free writing, storyboarding, 60%. Now we're building onto rewriting, and we're also looking at melody eventually. I'm going to be developing a melody checklist. But again, it'll be quite similar in terms of the depth you've gone to, the contrast, the different spaces you choose to use. So if it's helpful, I'd love to just know that you've listened. That's perfect. If you're someone that wants to reach out, jump on the Instagram, say hello. I'm pretty sure a lot of you guys are on there, which is awesome. So thank you. And if you want to talk more, drop us an email. If you want to send in one of your songs for us to review on Emily's help desk, we have, I think, one spot for next month, and then we might even have to extend it and do a few more, or maybe I'll go Patreon just because we have a bunch of songs from people, which is beautiful. And I think that is mostly it. So again, if someone wants to get involved, questions, if you like the show and you know someone who would also benefit, I believe, or I've been told this is very helpful. I've been told these things can get people out of little ruts. It's the whole reason I came up with them when I started writing and still use them today. Share that with someone who you might think it helps. And we'd love to be in touch and be in the ears of more and more wonderful writers like yourselves. So it's pretty surreal to do this, actually. I probably reflect very quickly, if you allow me to be soppy, that if I thought about having started my business and working with really interesting, interested and engaging and engaged people, might not have believed it a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. And doing this podcast has been awesome, and finding it and understanding the community and meeting some wonderful people that I work with, being able to talk about songwriting and excise my demons, excise my energy into this mic, and hope it helps people. And I know it does, which is awesome. So if you're out there and you want to get in touch, I'd love to hear from you. And yes, this is the rewriting checklist. If you're interested, get in touch. I will also be putting it out at some point in the future when I've had time to collate it and make sure it's great and it does its job for everyone. Melodic checklist on the way this year will also be going over the real beautiful essentials. Like I said, those kind of 10 tools I think are super important. I'll be making sure they go out pretty frequently, plus going out in depth again. For those of you guys that are new, you don't have to trawl back. They'll be coming around again. So thank you. Have an awesome time. I know I will be currently having an awesome time when this comes out. So appreciate you. And I hope this kind of takes you into an inspired state, or it takes you into a critical state, which is perfect too, to go and attack your songs and make them even better. But remember, we do this because there's a feeling we want to access. We want to turn this into something beautiful, something rich. And I'm going to stop now. Nerded out for today. Steam has been shot out of my nerdiness for songwriting. So peace, and have a wonderful day.